Hey, everybody. Welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us. I'm Amy Fuller here with you for the hour here on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio, reaching out to just a lot of people, and we're glad you're with us. Coming up, our guest. We have a romance expert. So get ready, take some notes. This is Greg Godek. He's written some amazing books, Bring Food, Arrive Naked. So there you go, that's a start. Romance with Attitude. That's one of his latest books. He has 12 books on romantic relationships, 1,001 Ways to Be Romantic. That was a number one bestseller with 3 million copies sold. So he's going to be along here in the studio. Give lots of good tips for everybody. Also, we have Vincent Hill. He is a law and order expert and a news anchor on a lot of TV, law, news, court TV shows that you see around. And he follows some of the most interesting national cases, including one on a missing beauty queen teacher. You might have seen something in recent years about the murder of Tara Grinstead in Georgia. Again, she was a beauty queen turned teacher, missing for so long. And then about a year and a half ago, a break in the case. And now law enforcement think they have their man. He had a bond hearing. Vincent is there. He's going to talk about, yes, he's a former Nashville police officer. He's got all this background. He's going to analyze everything for us and sort of take us through the case. So for all you Dateline addicts out there, this will be a good one for you to see. Senator Ted Harvey, former Colorado state senator, will be along. He is now the head of the Committee to Defend the President, the largest pro-Trump PAC in America. And there is lots to talk about with him when it comes to all the political headlines, including some things just coming down. News that Trump has indicated, President Trump, he is prepared to sign a funding bill that will declare an emergency on the border. There's a lot going on in recent hours, and we'll see in the next 24, 48. There was supposed to be a possible government shutdown Friday. Probably not, because people are saying he's probably going to sign this bill that Congress handed them. It's a $330 billion-plus spending bill designed to end the months-long standoff over Trump's proposed border wall. Some of the proposal, nearly $1.4 billion for 55 miles of new barriers, well less than Trump wanted. There would be curbs on where construction could occur. More than $1 billion for other forms of border security, including improvements in surveillance, hiring 600 additional customs officers, and more immigration judges, and $414 million in humanitarian aid for unauthorized immigrants who are detained. So again, the big question, this is what Congress handed them, him, and he's probably going to approve it, but then grab on to that national emergency where he uses other funds to build that wall that so many people think we so desperately need. Caravans on the way. There's a lot of news about new caravans coming up, and some officials in Central America saying that we have new information that these caravans are super well organized, and more coming, and they want to destabilize the United States of America. It's stuff that you just won't believe. So stay tuned. We'll have that coming up. And there's also, right, exactly that. Guatemala's intel minister, migrant caravans are well-planned, not spontaneous, more to come. Some 30,000, he says. Entertainment, though, we'll take a breath, right? Some fans of Killing Eve, have you heard of this series? They got their Valentine's wish, a new trailer dropping for season 2. I always see it winning a bunch of awards, including many for Best Actress for Sandra Oh. So if you haven't seen it, you can marathon season 1, then catch season 2 pretty soon. Here's your first look.
Lights are on, but you're not home.
I found Villanelle.
I think I might have killed her.
Congratulations.
You can't sleep, you can't eat, there's no doubt.
Sometimes when you love someone, you do crazy things.
What are you looking for?
A kitchen knife.
What for?
To stab you with.
Oh, you like to think
Why are you and Villanelle so interested in each other?
It's closer to the truth to say.
Come along.
Happy Valentine's Day to you. Hope it's a good one. Got quite the guest coming up. He's got tips on, well, romance for Valentine's Day, but every day, right? Why not do that? Because he's got 1,001 ways to be romantic, more romantic than ever. He is Greg Godek. He's going to be in here with lots of tips. It's going to be exciting to see what he's going to bring to us, so stay tuned right now for that. We're glad you're with America Trends. We've also got Vincent Hill with us tonight. He's a law enforcement analyst and former law enforcement guy. And if you're one of these people who follows true crime, and there are so many of us who do, you might have heard of the case of Tara Grinstead. She's a teacher from Georgia, who former beauty queen, and one day she left, I think it was a barbecue or something, some sort of a party, and never showed up again, 2005. And nobody knew anything. Finally now, police think they have their guy, and he's had a bond hearing recently. Vincent's a private investigator, and you can find more about him on his Twitter and Facebook pages. But Vincent, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in law enforcement. You used to be one of the guys, and now you report it all for us.
That's right, Amy. Good to see you as well. Happy Valentine. You look great in your red.
Oh, thanks.
I am former law enforcement, Nashville Police Department. I was there for 5.5 years and then started doing private investigation work in the state of Tennessee. And being in the right place at the right time, I was able to come on TV and start talking about some cases way back when, and it just kind of blossomed from there. So now I'm on pretty much all the time, and I'm thrilled to be here with you.
We are too. And I know you've got, I think it's your most recent book, Playbook to a Murder. If I recall, that's part of what will be a trilogy.
Yeah. So Playbook to a Murder was actually my first book. The second was Incomplete Past. The third is going to be titled Intentional Grounding. And they're all about the murder of Steve McNair, former Titans quarterback and Tennessee NFL quarterback. Great. He was also with the Baltimore Ravens. He was murdered back on July 4th of 2009. Nashville police say it was a murder-suicide, but I've been investigating that case since day one, and there's so much more to that case that people were ever privy to in the public. So I'm working on my third book right now, and also a huge project that's hopefully going to turn into a docuseries.
Oh, keep us posted on the docuseries. And I know you said from day one, police said one thing, and you thought, I think there might be another thing, too, to look at. So you've got these books and interesting theories. So check out his books, and we'll talk about that more another time. But as far as Tara Grinstead goes, this goes far back. And this was a woman, she competed in the Miss America pageant. I know you're in Georgia. I think she was Miss Georgia.
Yep.
And then, you know, wanted to give back to the community. And she became a teacher. And just a young woman, and then just one day gone.
Yeah, absolutely. So she was the former Miss Tift County, which is in Tifton, Georgia, which is where she was living,
Irwin
County, Georgia. She did compete for Miss Georgia. I think she lost that year to someone else, but she still made it to the big leagues.
Went to the state pageant.
Competing for that.
Okay, got
That's
it.
Right.
Sure.
So
yeah.
She was at a cookout back on October 22nd of 2005. She told friends after she left that cookout that she was going directly home. This was a Saturday. So when she did not appear for work that Monday, again, she's a school teacher.
Yeah.
She didn't show up for work. So, of course, people call police and say, hey, this is not like Tara not to show up for work. She loves her students. So police went directly. You can see her there on your screen. They went directly to her home. They noticed her car was in the driveway. They made entry in the house. Her purse and keys were missing. Her cell phone, however, was still there. So that didn't rub investigators the right way. They also found, Amy, a latex glove just feet away from her front door, which, of course, they collected at that time to potentially get DNA evidence way back in 2005. And the case took an amazing turn some many years later in 2017. A man by the name of Ryan Duke was arrested for her murder. And get this, Amy, he was a former student of Tara Grinstead.
Just unthinkable and sad, but, I mean, something happened to her. So they had this DNA from 2005 when they first went to the crime scene. I guess he must have not been in the system then. Well, if he's a student, he's a kid. So at some point, they must have extracted his DNA for some other thing, and then, boom, there's a match at some point?
Right. So at the time that she went missing, I believe Ryan Duke was in his 20s, I believe 23. So he had graduated sometime before. Now, what GBI did know was the DNA was that of a male. They just listed it as unknown male. But through their investigation, when they come to Ryan Duke in 2017, based on statements of the co-defendant, there is a co-defendant in this case, they get a search warrant for his DNA. That DNA comes back to Ryan Duke, and also a partial palm print, which matched that of Ryan Duke.
Okay, so this other person, from what I understand, I think Ryan Duke has admitted his guilt a number of times alone, but that someone helped dispose of, and I hate to say it, but dispose of the body. It's just so sad. You know, we do these crime cases, yeah. Vincent, but there are real families and real people behind it, and it's just heartbreaking. So I believe this other person said that he did help dispose, but did they find Ryan Duke because this other person came forward and said, I know some things, or was it a DNA match? I'm not quite sure.
Well, the other person is Bo Dukes, no relation to Ryan.
Right.
Bo Dukes actually talked to the GBI, and he said, listen, I helped Ryan Duke dispose of the body. It took 2,000 degrees to burn her body. We burned her in a pecan patch. So GBI talked to Bo Dukes and Ryan Duke at separate times. They both went to the exact spot where they say Tara was disposed of. However, the GBI testified during the bond hearing this past Monday that although there were human remains there, they couldn't determine if they were Tara Grinstead's just simply because they had been burned too badly. But what the defense pointed out, Amy, during this bond hearing on Monday, it was more like a trial. This was 4.5 hours of testimony. She pointed out, listen, Bo Dukes has been arrested recently for kidnapping and raping two women, which is consistent with what could have happened to Tara Grinstead. My client, Ryan Duke, is only here because he made a false confession based on fear of Bo Dukes. And she even asked the GBI agent, hey, are you trained in identifying a false confession? And he came back with no. And her answer was, we have the wrong guy in jail. But you can't take away that DNA evidence that was there on that glove.
Vincent Hill, PI, author of Playbook to a Murder. So again, this was a 4.5 hour bond hearing, pretty unheard of, but in 10 seconds, it took the judge 10 seconds to deny. I've only got 20 seconds, but you've been there. Is this the guy, in your estimation? Allegedly, I know.
He has to be involved in some way, shape, or form, Amy. There's no way that he couldn't be involved. And maybe they both did it, but Ryan Duke is definitely involved.
Mm. You know, we're so glad you could be with us. Keep us posted on the case, Vincent, and also your books. And we're just so glad to have you as a guest on America Trends. Have a great day, okay?
Thank you. You too, Amy.
We'll see you next time. We're back on America Trends with 1,000 ways to get the romance going with Greg Godek.
Beware my foolish heart. How the ever constant moon. Take care.
Everyone having a good day? Happy Valentine's Day. I don't know what's going on with you. It's been a while and you've run out of ideas. You think you've done everything. But fear no more. We've got Greg Godek with us. He's the guy. Take a look at some of his books. Here's just one, 1,001 Ways to Be Romantic. And more romantic than ever, he says. And he's here with us right now. And you've got some great ideas for, I know, you know, we're coming sort of to a close of Valentine's Day.
Right.
The guys have already run in, got their cards and
They've
run out.
They've run for the hills already.
But there's 364 other days in the year where we can try to get this going, right?
That's right, absolutely.
So Greg, tell me what you do. How did you get involved in trying to help us all be better at love?
Oh my. Well, it started in first grade.
Okay.
I had a girlfriend when I was in first grade.
Let's all go back.
No, to me, being romantic, and I don't mean lovey-dovey all the time, but you know, being close in a relationship, mm-hmm. I mean, I always liked the girls, and I always carried books for girls, and I did all that stuff when
See,
I was little.
That's a nice gentlemanly thing.
And I played baseball, too, and collected bugs and stupid things, but you know, it never made sense to me not to like the girls. And as I grew up, I did more and more creative things for girls. And then, well, in the 80s, I stumbled into teaching an adult ed course that was called 1,001 Ways to Be Romantic for Men Only.
And you found you were an expert because you've been doing this
six years old.
Sure.
So I started teaching this class, and in the beginning we thought, like kind of most people, guys are the ones that need the help, right?
Mm-hmm. No?
But it's not necessarily true. After 1 year of teaching the class, you know, monthly with like 50 guys in a room, two women came up to me after class one night and said, why can't we come to your class? And I said, I'm not trying to keep you out.
You're missing half the population there.
That's right. And that opened up the whole thing. So now women come, and they bring their friends, and they bring their guys. So now we had couples. So the whole dynamics of the course changed. And I taught that, you know, I mean, nobody makes money teaching adult ed. But I did this on the side for 10 years, and then it clicked regarding writing a book.
Now, what do you mean adult ed?
Evening classes, whatever classes. Right. You know, people used to go to classes, you know, learn how to fix cars, learn how to type. It used to be very practical.
The stuff we should have learned in high school.
Well, yeah, kind of,
yeah.
But a lot of adult ed has become more cultural and fun. Learn Zen, learn how to meditate, look how to cook Thai, learn how to be more romantic.
Well, thanks to you. So you did all this and...
So then I sat down and wrote the book.
Okay.
And it's literally numbered. I mean, this is easy for the guys. If you need an idea, you don't have to read through chapters and chapters. It's like, flip the book open, number 842. You know, write I love you on the bathroom mirror with a piece of soap. There you go.
Yeah. That's really cool because the guys, I mean, if they're inclined to do things like that, great. But if they're not, they can just grab your notes,
Cliff Notes. I have had guys buy the book and keep it as a secret. One guy keeps it in his gym bag because he knows that's the one place his wife will never go in.
You've got, we're talking to Greg Godek, and he's got some of his websites. What's the one about bring food, arrive naked.com. There you go. How hard
is that? That's the title of the new book.
And then you've got here's a couple of your books there, but also you brought this. This is darling because this is really from your heart. You made this jar of beautiful little sand dollar shells for your wife.
This is one of our things, okay?
Okay.
And see, I think so much of romance should be about something that's really personal between the two of you.
Yeah, no one else would give it.
That's right. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, what most people do is what I call generic romance.
Oh, sure.
Flowers, candies, movies, dinners, walks on the beach, a movie, a dinner. And they're all nice.
All nice, but...
if you've been together 5, 10, 30 years, it's about what is important to you. And one of the things that Karen and I do is we walk the beaches here in San Diego, mostly Pacific Beach, and we collect sand dollars. Karen came into the relationship with this. To her, sand dollars are representative of abundance. Sand dollars. Mm-hmm. So we've been collecting them for years. But I put together a collection of... I didn't count them, but there's probably 200 in here.
And it's so beautiful. You could put that anywhere. It's wonderful with any decor, but it's got such significance.
That's right. It really does.
I love that.
This is one of the biggest ones we've ever found.
And I'm thinking a bunch of guys are out running to the beach right now. They have one nearby trying
this
to get
is our
sand
thing.
Dollars for
You have to find your own
no,
thing.
No, they're taking your thing, Greg.
But then in addition to that, see, it's like starting with one idea and enhancing it creatively is one of those secrets to be more romantic. So there's this very nice book about sand dollars on the beach and things
and
like that.
And you grab that, too.
And then, of course, something romantic. You can't see that, though. The really mushy romantic
thing. Is there a secret notation in there? People want to see it so they can copy it exactly. Yet again, Greg Godek here. Okay, so, that's so nice. So you have, these are two of your, 13 books?
Correct, I think so. I lose track.
In the 90s, I
wrote one book a year. I'd rather write books than do almost anything else. So
the latest, which one's the latest one?
Bring Food, Arrive Naked.
And then get on Amazon or anywhere?
Not yet.
No, it's coming, though.
I just finished it. This is the very first time people are seeing it here. It's what we call a soft launch publishing.
Sure.
And here's the difference. And 1001 Ways, it's about tips. Do this, do that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 800, okay? Very specific. In the 90s, that was new and that was different because there weren't resources for finding where to buy certain things and ideas and putting things together.
And then the interwebs were born.
That's the interwebs. I know. The Google thing. And so recently I wrote Bring Food, Arrive Naked because this is about the attitude. The subtitle is Romance with Attitude. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's like, forget the flowers, forget the movies, bring food, arrive naked. Well, that's what he wants.
Ladies, take note. If you spent more than $25, and is this for the guys? If you spent more than $25, what you're really trying to do is make up for lost time.
That's a lot of what Valentine's Day has become about. This is why the guys get nervous, because they know they haven't been romantic.
This is like when they break up right before Christmas so they don't have to worry
that
about what kind of...
That is the meanest thing ever. And they do that before Valentine's Day, too. It's a thing.
Oh, no. All they need is your book.
Yeah, well, that can help. If inclined that way, they've got some other problems.
Do you ever just say to the guys, you know what, just stay home. Leave the girls alone.
No, I've never said that. Because I think being in a couple, people were made to be in couples. I think very few people were born to be monks.
No, that's what the Bible says, too. And you say, you have an actual formula. Creativity plus focus plus attitude. And that all sounds pretty good.
It works. It really does. And and as I go along with people over time, it is more about the attitude. It's not about let's be sweet and let's be nice and let's have everything be perfect. It's like, oh,
don't lose that.
For crying out loud.
Let's be us.
Let's be us.
Yeah.
And that's that, the attitude. Actually, the attitude of the book is summed up in the very first line of the book. And the first line is, just because most people's relationships suck is no excuse for yours to suck, too.
I mean...
Because, you know, people say, well, they're not. Who's right? Most people are not. Most people have very average relationships. That's true.
And what's
but
the
what
use?
Does that have to do with you?
No, why do we give all this time to our work and our career? To what end? If you're not sharing it and having... If you don't have the sand dollars, then... And then it's, are we out at three guys in the control room? Okay, so... tell us your handle again so people can get your book and learn.
I'm sorry, say again.
Your handle for your website. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
You've got me all worked up.
Well, for the... To get
funny Valentine.
Ella Fitzgerald. You could do worse on a lovely holiday like this. Greg Godek would maybe tell you that. Ella, he was just here. He is with. He's got these great books, 1001 Ways to Be Romantic, and coming up, Bring Food, Arrive Naked. So it's a. We didn't get the. I'm sorry, we had a hard break. So I just wanted to say again, Greg Godek, go to bringfoodarrivenaked.com, and you can find out all his special ways to make every day Valentine's Day. And hey, a lot of people are sweet on. I've got. Are there some funny Donald Trump Valentines I gave you guys in the control room? A lot of people are sweet on President Trump because they feel like he's doing their bidding, and that's why we elected him. And he is all for getting this wall and keeping us safe. And apparently, he wants you on his side of the wall. There you go. Hashtag MAGA. We're here with Senator Ted Harvey, and happy Valentine's Day to you, Ted. Trump says XOXO to you. So,
nice right. Transition.
Right? Nothing if not good transitions, right, Ted? No, but people are, here's another one for you. Here's another transition. They are sweet on him because it's trending right now, national emergency. As you and I speak right now, there's talk that he will declare a national emergency because this huge bill that Congress gave him with all this stuff, but not huge enough to fund the border wall, it's not enough. And he's saying, okay, are you ready to go? Here we go. We're going to declare an emergency. So what's going to happen in the next few days, few hours?
Well, I think he will. I've been arguing that this is exactly what's going to happen for the last several months. Ever since he invited Chuck and Pelosi over to the White House and then brought the media into the Oval Office and forced them to say to the American people that they were going to be obstructionists, that they were never going to fund the wall, and they were going to shut down the government in order to prove their point. Trump was saying that he was willing to do that, that he was willing to stand up for the American people and to stop gangbangers and drug traffickers and human traffickers coming to the United States. And the Democrats were willing to have that debate. Well, here we go after all these months. If you remember, Pelosi and Chuck had their response to the president's immigration speech, and they embarrassed themselves. Then the president had his State of the Union, and the Democrats embarrassed themselves during that State of the Union. We finally get to a point after months and months and months of the Democrats saying that the wall is racist and the wall is immoral. Well, now you have the Democrats funding it after them saying they will never put a penny into it. Now they're saying they'll put over $1.4 million or $1 billion into this racist wall that doesn't do anything. Well,
and
that
it's
is
an
not
inanimate
enough.
Object. And I, when I was just a little girl, I learned inanimate objects couldn't be racist one way or the other. But I suppose a wall is racist according to the Democrats.
That's exactly right. So they're playing into his hands. And so now they have nothing to fall back on with their narrative that it is a racist wall and an immoral wall because they're going to fund it. But they haven't funded it to the point where it's going to have any impact. So the president is left with no other option, which is what he has been telegraphing to the American public for months, that if he does not get the funding to do this, he will declare a national emergency. And that is what is going to happen, I believe, today or tomorrow. He will come forward and he will declare a national emergency and he will fund the wall, not only $5 billion, but I bet he will fund it upwards to $20 billion before this is all over with. And he will be able to circumvent all of the environmental regulatory issues that the left has been trying to hold him up on for all of these years, because the court came out just this week saying that he could move forward and build the wall without having to deal with these environmental issues. So it's going to be brought in, it's going to be funded, it's going to be done under budget. And thankfully, we have a president that's actually going to stand up and do what he all of these other presidents for the last 40 years have been telling the American people they would do. He's going to build a wall and he's going to secure the border.
Oh, they say they're going to do it and then they kick the can down the road. And by the way, any of these politicians who've been in office for more than a minute, like Ocasio-Cortez or Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, which she's got her own issues. Boy, oh boy, does she. Anyone who's been in office for more than a minute has already gone on their own rants, and you can find them anywhere because of the internet today, of them saying we need walls, immigrants just can't come here willy-nilly and take our stuff and be taken care of. And by the way, we don't even really know who's coming through those easy access points. So it's all just them just playing the political thing and not wanting to give Trump what he wants. They want to keep their toys for themselves. So Pelosi's reacting right now, saying it's important to note that when a president declares this emergency, first of all, it's not an emergency. But again, video of her in the past, and she's had it too. So did you have a chance to look? In the past 24 hours, we had a bit of a look at what the Democrats did hand him, the Congress, what they did hand him as far as the spending bill goes. And it just wasn't enough, was it?
Well, what I think is interesting is the Democrats didn't get very much. The Democrats have been arguing that they want DACA, that they want to protect these kids that came here because their parents brought them here at a young age. That they will not come forward and actually solve this problem. The president has been arguing that he wants to solve this problem since when he was running for office, and yet the Democrats aren't being serious about it. They've been making these promises, but they aren't fulfilling it. And they are the budget does add more money for judges so that we can get through this backlog of illegal immigrants that are asking for asylum. There is a lot of good things in this bill, but the president is getting the narrative changed to the point that people are actually saying that, yes, we need to fund the wall. And the Democrats are left with nothing to show that their base, that they're standing up for anything that they've been promising them for all of these years.
Promises, promises. So nearly $1.4 billion for 55 miles of new barriers, just a fraction of what President Trump wanted. There would be curbs on where construction could occur. I guess some small town mayors could say, hey, we don't really want the wall here. But guess what? Your small town that you think you have dominion over, there's a thing called the supremacy clause. And your open borders lead to my backyard, and it's dangerous. There's also $1 billion for other forms of border security, including, as you say, improvements in surveillance equipment, 600 additional customs officers, and immigration judges, and a bunch. $414 million in your tax dollars in humanitarian aid for unauthorized immigrants who are detained. So all this, and the Democrats had this poison pill thing in there, and President Trump now saying, guess what? It's a national emergency.
And I think the American people will rally behind him. He is showing leadership. He is showing that he is the president of the United States, and he will take the executive action necessary to protect our borders and protect the American people. And the Democrats are there looking like obstructionists who will not protect our borders, will not protect our workers or the American people's safety. So let's have that debate. Let's take that into November of 2020 and let's let the American people decide. Would you rather have open border Democrats or would you rather have a president that's going to stand up to protect America?
Absolutely. And this comes on the heels of news just today. And Ted, we're heading toward a break, but we're going to keep you over for another segment.
Love to.
We're love to have it. It was Ted Harvey, Senator Ted Harvey, Committee to Defend the President. You can go to his website and support him. But this big Breitbart article that came out, and I'd love to read the whole thing to you, but you should just look it up and find it. The Guatemalan head of intelligence said during a visit to Washington this week that those migrant caravans, as you might have suspected, totally organized, totally, in a nutshell, meant to bring some 30,000 deep migrants here and destabilize the USA. You want a revolution from within your own borders? That's what they're going for. So read that Breitbart article. We'll talk more about it after the break. And also, Ted, I'm going to ask you, where, oh, where is Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Try to find out when we come back.
Been shaking. I love it when you go crazy. You take all my inhibitions. Baby, there's nothing.
Glad to have you with America Trends for the Hour. I'm Amy Fuller. We have had just a little bit of fun on Valentine's Day, and now we're covering some of the political headlines of the day, the week, the month. Some feels like the same old, but there's always very new and interesting stuff going on. And believe me, in the next few hours, next few days, there's going to be a lot of political theater coming out of D.C. We're with Senator Ted Harvey of Colorado, former state senator, now head of the largest pro-Trump PAC in America. And it's just going to be fun to see him go. You know, when he got up and did the State of the Union, then earlier this week, Ted, when the president spoke from Texas, it was like just an old wonderful band you love singing their greatest hits. It was all the good old stuff, and they were loving it, and he was they were loving him, he was loving them. It was just a lot. And now I wonder if he'll just get up and speak at some point and say, you know what, it's a national emergency.
Well, I think as you see these tens of thousands of immigrants coming from South America to the United States, as they get closer, the American people are going to say, yes, this is a national emergency. We have to do something about this. Having a wide open border is simply allowing people, is inviting people to risk their lives, risk their kids' lives, to come here and break our laws and easily walk across our borders. I don't think anybody wants to put people at risk, and we certainly don't want to have a total and complete open borders. So we have to put walls in place, so people have to come here legally. They have to go through the ports of entry, and we get to say who comes here and who doesn't come here based on what we are able to find out about those individuals. There's a lot of people coming here that, like I've said in the past, are gangbangers, drug traffickers, human traffickers, but there's also people that have diseases that are bringing communicable diseases that we haven't seen in the United States for a long time, and now they're bringing them here. We have got to be able to screen people and invite the people we want to come in, not just have open borders where they can walk across at will, and that's what the Democrats want. That's what the Democrats are arguing for, and I don't think that's going to sell in America over the next 20 months.
Well, the only thing we can guess is that they want voters. And as far as diseases go, this current caravan that's south of Eagle Pass, Texas, which, by the way, this caravan, 1,800 strong, that started in Honduras, it arrived just over a week ago. They're being housed at these facilities in Mexico that were never meant to house anyone for any amount of time. They were meant to process people. So instead of coming to San Diego where there's a wall, this new caravan got clued in and said, let's go to a place where there are softer entry points. So they went to Eagle Pass, and that's where they remain right now. They're getting processed, and there's supposedly a huge outbreak of mumps. The previous caravan that was just below San Diego, San Ysidro, in Tijuana, HIV, scabies, hepatitis. So all that was coming in, wanted to come in. And no one really knows how many got through some of the poorest points. We just never know, besides the people we already let in, because we say it's okay, you can come in. So it's just a whole lot of stuff. And apparently, they're using apps like Facebook and WhatsApp to gather people to start these caravans from Honduras, coming all the way up to Mexico, to the U.S., and it's just very well planned and organized, as if we didn't already know.
Right. And there's been plenty of articles written about how George Soros's organizations have been involved in organizing this, that the UN has been involved in providing relief for them as they travel north. I'm sorry, but we need to stop that. Our government needs to do everything they can to stop putting out the red carpet and encouraging these people to risk their lives and their kids' lives to come here. It is irresponsible for George Soros and his organizations to be encouraging it. It is irresponsible for the UN to be encouraging it. And the only thing you can take away is that they and the Democrats don't believe that nations should have borders and that the United States should be the piggy bank for the rest of the world. And that is not what sovereignty, national sovereignty, is all about. And the American people need to rise up and throw these Democrats out of office in November of 2020, because if they continue to hold seats in Congress, we're going to continue to have this battle year in and year out.
So again, Donald Trump, we're hearing that he's on the heels, if he hasn't already, but as we speak right now, declaring a national emergency to get that border wall funding. So stay tuned for that. But a couple other topics besides that in the caravan. Ted, Ilhan Omar, new congresswoman out of Minnesota, supposedly very well organized to get her voted in to the Congress of the United States of America. Had quite an interesting week. Anti-Semitism, some weird questions of people about past things. And she's a refugee herself who will not show proof that she didn't marry her brother to get here or to get him here. And what's going on with this lady? People are saying she should be kicked out of Congress, or at least to some of her subcommittees.
Well, she certainly shouldn't be on any committee in Congress that has access to any national security interests, because I think she has proven herself to be not going to be supporting the American position when it comes to Israel, when it comes to Palestine, when it comes to fighting the radical terrorists around the globe. She is, I believe, a threat to national security. But she was elected by her constituents.
Ted, can I say, have you heard of you? I'm sure you know about this, but some 10-year plan to get more Muslims to that area so they could get a seat in Congress. Conspiracy
sure.
theory or no?
Sure. Well, I think that previous administrations, through the refugee laws, have been taking refugees from Muslim countries and dropping them into Minnesota and into those communities. And it is only common sense that eventually, when you get a population of that dense, you're going to have people from that population elected to Congress. And I don't necessarily have a problem with Muslims being in Congress. I have a problem with radicalized Muslims being in Congress. And I think that all of the evidence is pointing to the fact that this congressman has been radicalized for many years. And she certainly is radicalized against Israel. And that needs to be taken seriously, because she can't have access to any national security interests.
Senator Ted, we're almost out of time, but I have 10 seconds, because I have to ask you, where is Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
I have an app on my phone that says, "Where is Ruth Bader Ginsburg?" And it says that she's been gone for 70 days. Nobody has seen Ruth Bader Ginsburg in public for 70 days. I think we need to have a serious discussion about that, and hopefully Trump will bring that up shortly.
Okay, we deserve answers. Back after this.
Thank you.
So glad to have had you along for the Hour for America Trends. I'm your host, Amy Fuller, and just again, thank you so much for being here. Had some Valentine's Day ideas with Greg Godek, an author, and he's a romance expert. Let's just say it. 1,001 Ways to Be Romantic, more romantic than ever. So he's got this book. He's got like 12 or 13, and they've sold like 3 million. So he's doing something right. Take his ideas, make them your own, hide the book. I'm sure it'll all work out. So we appreciate him being on. Vincent Hill, law enforcement expert, former PI, and he was talking to us about the Tara Grinstead murder case out of Georgia, a trending thing, and they think they have their man, law enforcement, and we'll see what happens there. And Ted Harvey with the political headlines of the day, including President Trump about to launch this national emergency so he can get his wall built. And talking about things like that, the caravans, and where is Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg? That it seems she's been away and maybe too sick to do the job, so no one's giving updates yet. But stay tuned, we are monitoring. I want to tell you, you can find us 24/7 on our website, u2america.com. Get on there and click through and find us on social media. And we'd like to be friends with everybody. And finally tonight, a really cool new movie. It's a Laura Dern, Liam Neeson offering. Coming out in just I think it just came out in the past few days, but the trailer is really, really good. It's called Cold Pursuit. Very fun trailer. Take a look as we say goodbye for now.
What makes you think you can kill a man?
I read it in a crime novel. I'm very honored to be named Kehoe Citizen of the Year. I'm just a guy who keeps a strip of civilization open. When you drive the same road day after day, it's easy to think about the road not taken. I was lucky. I picked a good road early, and I stayed on it.
Mr. Coxman?
What can I do for you?
It's about your son.
He died of a heroin overdose.
We didn't know our own son.
Kyle wasn't a druggie.
Sorry, but all the parents say that.
You're gonna have to say a few words.
Kyle's dead. Tell me what happened.
He got mixed up with some drug dealer. Viking. He likes hurting people.
What is it with all these nicknames? Speedo, Viking, Eskimo.
It's a gangster thing.
Did you have a nickname?
Wingman.
Wingman. I'm gonna kill him. No, those guys.
One guy could disappear. Two, who wants me dead?
Three of Viking's drug dealers have disappeared.
What makes you think you can kill a man?
I read it in a crime novel. What are you doing? My job.
This doesn't happen in Kehoe.
It just did.
Seasons don't fear the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. Come on, baby, don't fear the reaper. Baby, take my hand.
Coxman, Citizen of the Year. Good for him.